From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Lawmakers have just 6 legislative days left to debate and pass bills that change the way we do things in Georgia. This week brought continued discussion about a state takeover of Atlanta's airport and intense debate over women's reproductive rights. Here is State Senator Valencia C. during a hearing on the bill, which would make Georgia's laws the most restrictive in the country.
No man can give a birth. So I just do not appreciate consistently hearing common sense as if I don't have common sense. I got enough sense to bring this amendment to try to fix it to no avail.
GPB political reporter Stephen Fowler has been tirelessly covering the bill and the legislative session for us and joins me in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us. Now, one of the most watched bills in front of lawmakers is the so-called heartbeat bill. If passed, would effectively ban abortions in most cases once a heartbeat is detected, so around 6 weeks into pregnancy. What's the latest on this measure?
So, Virginia, today the state Senate is expected to hear the bill on the floor. Now, the Senate is the smaller body, kind of the more august body, so they don't really have as many time limits about debate and things. So I've heard that there's no time limit being set on this debate, which means that senators would have about 30 minutes per senator to discuss this. And so I'd expect this afternoon to be several hours worth of debate over this bill. I'm seeing pictures this morning of lots of Capitol Police lined up outside the Capitol in preparation for a lot of people demonstrating both for and against the bill. And because this was amended in the Senate Science and Technology Committee Monday morning, once the Senate passes it, the bill would have to go back to the House before heading to Governor Brian Kemp's desk.
And on Monday morning, during that Senate and Technology meeting, a substitute version of the bill passed along party and gender lines. What happened?
Well, so the committee was chaired by Republican Renee Unterman. She's one of 2 Republican women in the Senate, and it passed on a vote of 3 men, 3 Republican men, and 2 Democratic women, and they added an ex officio member of the committee to be that third yes vote to make sure that the chair didn't have to vote and that there wouldn't be a tie. And there were some substitutes added to the bill in addition to effectively banning abortion once a heartbeat is detected around 6 weeks. It includes provisions that would allow a mother and father to basically, after conception or after this heartbeat is detected, claim that embryo on their taxes like they would a newborn child, and do other things like count it in the state census population, and added in a measure that a Democrat proposed that would allow child support, that would require a father to pay child support at that 6-week mark.
All right. During the discussion of the bill yesterday on the House floor, Ethics Committee Chairman Randy Nix lectured members about following House rules during debate. Here he is.
I had a number of people come to me following our debate from a couple of weeks ago with concerns about conduct on the floor of the House. This was people from both parties, and there were some people who were concerned about the things that occurred.
Now, this comes after strong protests from House Democrats during a vote on the abortion bill. So what does it mean for a future debate?
So, Virginia, this debate happened on crossover day, which is the day that ended at 11 p.m. on a Thursday. And this was one of the last bills they discussed. It was about an hour in the House. Some House Democrats brought coat hangers with them to symbolize what they say would happen if abortion was legal abortions were effectively ended. One representative had a canister of bleach on her desk. And when the bill's sponsor started speaking, several House Democrats stood up and turned their backs. And all of these things, according to this ethics memo, are against House rules of decorum. And there's now an official on paper document saying that if those were to happen, you know, hypothetically speaking, or in real life, they would violate the House rules, and there could be a $100 fine, or if there's repeated instances or issues, that it could result in the House voting to expel the members. Now, what this actually means for debate remains to be seen, because the Democrats are very passionate about this debate and this bill, and, decorum is one thing, but speaking their mind about this bill is another. So it remains to be seen what happens as far as the debate whenever this bill might come up again in the House.
Stephen, you reported this week a feature about the effort to overturn Roe versus Wade using these heartbeat bills, which is being done in several states, noting that none has been successful so far. So what's different about the Georgia bill that has supporters feeling hopeful?
So, like I mentioned earlier, there are these provisions that don't actually deal with the procedure itself, the tax credit, the counting in the census, the child support. These are the issues related to abortion, but not actually the abortion procedure, that may be what triggers this legal challenge. Other states have passed the heartbeat bill or signed the heartbeat bill. It's been struck down as unconstitutional by the courts because of the specific Supreme Court ruling dealing with the right to have an abortion. But the tax credit or some of the other financial and economic and populational things may be something that supporters feel could be used to be challenged in the court and have this in front of the Supreme Court eventually.
Well, so this is obviously something that's going to be watched and you'll be reporting on. But meanwhile, lawmakers still have to pass the fiscal year 2020 budget. Now, this is the one thing that they are required to approve. $27.5 billion document. One of the biggest sticking points is a pay raise for teachers. The Senate says it will fully fund Governor Kemp's promise of a $3,000 raise. But walk us through how this has played out in the process.
Well, so on the campaign trail, Republican Governor Brian Kemp said that he would give a $5,000 raise for teachers. In his budget proposal, it was $3,000 that he said was a down payment because that's quite a lot of money for quite a lot of people. Now, the House said, we're going to take that $3,000, trim it down a little bit, and add in other certified professionals that work in schools, school psychologists, counselors, things like that, beyond just a classroom teacher. So then a little bit less money, but more people get it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over on the Senate side, they, you know, moved some things around and said that more people get it, and it's the full $3,000 raise. And with the proposal right now, that would be accomplished by delaying it a few months from, you know, the beginning of the fiscal year to a few months later so that everyone gets that money, and it's a way that makes the books balance out in the budget.
Is it usual to wait this long to pass a budget?
Well, you know, they do have 40 legislative days to pass it, and the first thing they have to do is pass the amended fiscal year budget for any expenses that changed or revenue that changed, and it takes a lot. There are a lot of different subcommittees and different state agencies that have to testify and say, we need this and that. It has to start in the House. They have to have their committees. It has to go to the Senate. They have their committees, and then they have to meet together. So this is the bulk of the lawmakers' time and energy, is figuring out how our tax dollars come in and how they're spent for programs and services and other things that we need.
That's GPB Politics reporter Stephen Fowler. He's been covering this legislative session and reporting back to us on Second Thought. All right, so you mentioned Crossover Day 2 weeks ago. This is when it's widely considered the last day a bill has to pass out of either the House or the Senate to be discussed during the rest of the session. This week, we saw an exception, however, a bill dealing with education. What's the bill and what was the exception?
Well, so the bill is something that the Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan championed that, depending on how you view the issue, it's either school choice or a school voucher program. And the Georgia Senate rejected that bill earlier. And what it would do would have these state-funded accounts that parents could redirect state money that would go towards a public school education into kind of private school money. That rejected, that was failed, but the Lieutenant Governor vowed that he was going to make it happen. So now it's kind of this zombie bill that is being attached to a different bill that already passed the House. That's an education measure, so it's the same part of the code, and that the original bill would restrict the type of organizations that can collect and distribute tax credit funding. So it's kind of related, but it's kind of not. So it's being hijacked to push this school choice, school voucher, or how you want to look at it, bill.
All right. So keeping with the theme of late session shenanigans, we have a bill that would give a tax break for airlines purchasing jet fuel. Now folded into a proposed airport takeover, if I got that right?
Well, so there was an airport takeover bill already passed by the Senate, pushed by rural senators, not in the Atlanta area. And that's still being in the House. It's being heard. No action has been taken on it yet. So the House passed a bill that would codify this tax break for airlines, mainly Delta, but other airlines in Atlanta, that purchase jet fuel in the state. So the Senate took that jet fuel tax break bill and also added the airport takeover language in it. I guess playing this game of chicken with Delta, saying, if you like this tax break, you'll like this. You'll like this takeover. But we'll see. If the House doesn't vote on the airport takeover the first time, they may not vote on it the second time. So, like you said, late session shenanigans going on.
Okay, so rural transit, another issue lawmakers want to address before the end of the session. House Transportation Chairman Kevin Tanner has a bill that would create a new state agency to handle mobility and transit. His aim is boosting the transit in areas across the state. How would that work?
Well, so this bill would create a new state agency that would kind of oversee the transit and transportation. It would create 8 different zones of mobility across the state, one of them already being Atlanta, where we have the ATL, which will be the new name for MARTA and all of the transit things here. Basically, it would take the original version of the bill would take a 50-cent or a 50-cent per ride credit for Uber and Lyft and taxis and things to fund pilot projects for transit. The current version would take sales tax on limousines and transportation as a dedicated funding source for rural transit. But it's getting held up by the Georgia Department of Transportation and others saying, we don't want to solely take all of the transportation and transit things and put it in one agency, because there are 6 different agencies that already oversee transit. So it's being held up by kind of the Atlanta area interest and the rural interest. But what this could do is fix transit, or at least start the process of transit in rural Georgia.
Well, we, of course, both Georgia senators were in town this week with 2 very different thoughts on the White House. Republican Johnny Isaacson, a guest on GPB's Political Rewind with Bill Nygut, had some pretty harsh criticism for President Trump's recently revived criticism of the late Senator John McCain. But also yesterday, Republican David Perdue was with the Vice President Mike Pence at an Atlanta Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility. Let's hear a little from that.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the men and women who enforce our laws, do not inflict misery. They bring safety and security to the people of Atlanta, and they deserve the respect of every elected official in this country.
Kind of an affront against Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, who has said that we're not going to house immigrants or cooperate with ICE in Atlanta. So what's the message there?
Well, you know, this was a trip that the vice president made to campaign with David Perdue, but also to stop by Homeland Security and ICE in Atlanta and say, I appreciate the job that you're doing. He said that the Atlanta field office is one of the busiest in the country, and said that in the last 2 years that that agency and that field office removed about 14,000 non-citizens from the U.S. And yeah, it was a pretty big slap in the face, so to speak, to the mayor for saying that ICE, she would no longer work with them. And so we'll see if the mayor has anything to say about that today.
Well, we're going to hear a lot more about that. Today's Political Rewind is going to be a 2. It's going to have an extended update on Georgia politics. And the team was on hand yesterday for the vice president's visit. So you'll hear more today at 2. You can also watch on Facebook Live for Political Rewind. Stephen Fowler, thank you so much.
Thank you.
GPB Stephen Fowler. Find him most days at the state capitol, definitely today, helping to make sense of the legislative session. Now, coming up, an effort to protect endangered fish in the Savannah River could be a problem for waterfront property. We'll explore the debate. I'm Virginia Prescott. Stay with us for more of On Second Thought.